Today, with so much uncertainty in our lives, it's understandable to feel stressed, anxious, worried, or frustrated. It's normal. But it's easy to check your stress and get help for your mental health with free resources from CalHope. Make a game plan by calling our warm line at 833-317-4673 or try our secure and confidential live chat today at calhope.org. CalHope, proud partner of the San Jose Sharks.
We're getting you ready for the game on The Build Up with news from around the league, interviews, highlights, and more. Here's your host, Ted Ramey.
Solovyov gets the shot toward the net from the left side. Just barely sticked aside there by goaltender Georgiev, and he makes another save from the near side. Again from Solovyov in front of the net. Backhand shot by Nazem Kadri. A great save from 2 feet out by Georgiev, who's clearly on his game to start.
All right, what's happening, everyone? You're on the Sharks Audio Network, The Build Up. As we get ready for the Sharks to take on Winnipeg, the second night of a back-to-back 4:30 go time, 4 o'clock pregame. Dan Rusinowski and Alex Stalock on the call right here on the Sharks Audio Network before they get 2 days off. They will be in Montreal on Thursday, and then we'll be going into the weekend. Saturday, they're going to be in Ottawa, and then next Monday and Tuesday, they are going to be at Toronto, then at Buffalo, then the final and seventh game of this road trip, they are at Colorado before they are finally home on the 8th of March, playing host to the Islanders. So the Sharks, busy times continue. News that has come out of the Sharks morning skate or media availability with head coach Ryan Warsawski. Tim Liljegren, who was injured last night, is not going to be in. Mark-Edward Vlasic is taking his place in the lineup. Also, Grundstrom is in for Duer. And Vanacek is going to start after, of course, Georgiev had the start last night and had a good start last night. Also, he said that today was going to be a big day for Kovalenko. He's coming back from injury as well, so hopefully he'll be able to take steps towards a return. And right now, the Sharks are dealing with injuries, but managing it all. It's good that they've been able to get a Nico Sturm and an Alex Wenberg back in the lineup. Remember, they're still out Jan Ruta right now. So injuries continue to be a factor for them, but it's also every other team in the NHL. Injuries are always an issue. If we look at the standings right now, the Sharks are heading towards a very tough opponent today in Winnipeg. 40-14-3, 80 points on the year. They are 22-5-3 at home. They have currently won 9 games in a row. They're on a 9-game win streak. So the other thing to take into account is they are an incredible power play team. They're scoring over a third of their power play chances at home. It's only like 35-36%. So the Sharks cannot take penalties in this game. That has got to be priority number one. Stay out of the box, especially coming after a game last night where they got penalized as much as they did. So that's going to be an area of focus. But they got to keep it simple. Can't try and overcomplicate your game, because if you do, if you get caught out, if you make any mistake, if you try to get too complicated or get too cute, Winnipeg will make you pay. All right, to talk about all this and more, we are now joined by the host of Sharks Pre and Post Game Live on NBC Sports California, Alan Hoshida. Al, what's going on, man? How are you doing?
Not much. A glorious Monday where we have some Sharks hockey. We can get after that. We can enjoy that for sure.
I know, man. The Monday afternoon hockey is very nice just because it's a change of pace. However, they are going up against Winnipeg, a team that already has 40 wins this year. And once again, it's on the second night of a back-to-back. Maybe you've erased the memory. Do you remember what happened the last time they played the Jets on the second night of a back-to-back this year?
Jetpack was on full blast, and they went right through the San Jose Sharks. And that was when Will Smith wasn't playing back-to-back. So it was only the fifth game of the season, too. It was their very first back-to-back. So
No Macklin.
A lot of things have changed. But I don't know if enough has changed for the San Jose Sharks in that time. They did play them quite a lot better when they came to San Jose and actually had a lead again in the third period, one of those games that they couldn't close out. But, and not to mention Winnipeg's playing maybe their best hockey of the season too, which they're going for 10 straight. So you're going against – you have a lot of things stacked against you. Hellebuck's playing. Looks like he will probably be in that starting lineup as well. So they're not even giving the Sharks any help there either.
So they're going face first into the buzzsaw and hoping for the best is what you're saying.
Yes. Hopefully they're wearing safety goggles.
Yes. So last night's game though, as you know, goggle up, safety first. I didn't hate any aspect of it. Like, I found myself when I was recording Morning Tide earlier today that I was just kind of in the mood, like, you know what? They played a pretty decent game. They lost to a team that's in a playoff chase. It's not to say that it means less to the Sharks, but it is from all, you know, relatively 30,000 foot views, a more meaningful game for Calgary than it was San Jose. I don't know. Did you walk away, like, maybe not necessarily pleased, but there was nothing about that game where I was particularly upset about over, other than some of the officiating. But even then, the Sharks were still in it. They had a chance.
Yeah, I mean, you shoot one over the puck, you can't do anything about that. Or over the glass. That one's not on the refs. You just do what it is. No, I mean, I think they did play a pretty good game, especially out of the break. I think it was a better brand of hockey than we maybe saw the week prior to the break, though. They did play pretty good against Montreal and Vancouver. I still think last night's game was probably more complete. They added a little more wrinkles there for defensive zone coverage and neutral zone coverage, which I think might pay some dividends. I did think, you know, they were talking about it in postgame, the guys, and Macklin and Toffoli, and it really didn't seem like they gave up that many chances, you know, as what we've seen before, but it just was one of those cases where the Flames took advantage of those chances and where the Sharks did not, where Will Smith has a couple breakaways, a 2-on-1, Zetterlund's rings one's off the post. And so if those chances go in, it's a different game. But yeah, overall, I think I thought it was a pretty good game, and maybe a game that they felt they outplayed the Flames at one point, and they maybe deserved that game. But it's the NHL, and if you have those games now, if you have those for the next 24, if you can bring that consistency, you're going to win more nights than not. The other part of that is what you touched on, is that the Flames are a desperate team when you get into the third period. Like, if there's a close game and they have a chance to win that game, or a one-goal game, where give or take, they're going to push because they're in a playoff push. And that's something I think the Sharks are going to have to figure out and manufacture their own desperation, because they don't have it. Whether that is, oh, we want to play spoiler, or whatever they come up with in that room. It's different, though. It's different to have a real life desperation for playoffs than it is to be like, okay, what are we going to manufacture here to create our desperation?
Yeah, no, it's true. And, you know, the Sharks are at a different point in their timeline. And, you know, it's not, I always try to qualify this statement, but what's happening on the ice right now is not for today. It's for the future, which I'm sure isn't satisfying for a lot of fans, but that is the, you know, unfortunate reality of where the Sharks are right now. If we go back to that game, I was talking about learning moments, like Henry Thrun. Hopefully that's a mistake that he won't make again. We talked about it last night, Colin Graf. There was that play where he was just a step behind on a rebound. Hopefully that's something that he'll learn from. Will Smith, I think he's got to get better on breakaways. Hopefully that's something that he's going to work on in the offseason, to where, like a Tyler Toffoli, who we've seen in similar situations, he knows how to switch smoothly to that backhand at the last second when he's going one-on-one with the goalie. Macklin, you know, he had a great game, but I'm sure there's things that he learned as well. And learning for the San Jose Sharks, especially the Celebrinis, the Smiths, the Graffs, the Mukmadulins, the Thruns, it is a painful process. But we hope that on the other side, when we're talking about 2 years from now, or maybe even next year, you know, who knows, that they are able to learn and apply those lessons. Like, there has to be pain now for them to be a team that progresses in the future.
Well, it's interesting. Macklin's had a delay over glass in the third period. Will Smith has had a delay over glass in the third period. Henry Thrun now has had a delay over glass in the third
period. Shakir Mukmadulin, come on down.
Those are all young guys, and I'm not saying this is – it could have been to anybody, but the fact that it's happening to these young guys, it's maybe that's learning, okay, let's take another extra beat. We have a little bit more time than we think. We don't need to just throw. And I know he's trying to bring it off the glass and whatever, but it's one of those things where you're learning. I think also to your point is – part of what the fans can enjoy or can look to is if they start closing out one or two or three, let's say two or three of these third periods where they have a game where they can win, where we have seen it get away from them in third periods and they close them out. That would be a real good sign that the Sharks are learning from those experiences. And we've seen it previously where they have closed out third, but I think if they could do that a little more often, or just not get the gates blown off of them in the third period, where like against the Knights, where they're up and they have a power play and then there's two shorthanded and then all of a sudden it's like 4-goal game. And you're like, whoa, what happened there? So those are the things that I think you can look to. And yeah, if we can start seeing that in the third period, I think that's something I wanted to talk about last night that we never got to, is that the third periods, if they can show growth there, I think that's a sure sign for the future, because then you have Macklin, Will. You have these guys that are going to be around that know how to kind of win in the third period when it matters. So I think that's – I think third period is as it is for every single team, but it's obviously going to be a big focal point continuing here for the final 24 games.
Let me play devil's advocate. What if the Sharks have Mikhail Granlund and Cody Ceci last night? What if Mackenzie Blackwood is in net last night? Not that there was anything wrong with Georgiev, but, you know, how do you show growth if the talent level of the team is going down? And that's not a knock on any of those guys, but Mackenzie Blackwood played his way out of San Jose because his timeline didn't fit what was going on here. He's now on a cup contender. Mikhail Granlund and Cody Ceci are now on a cup contender in Dallas. We just saw Granny play phenomenally in Four Nations. So how do you grow? How do you get over the hump of the third period if who you're going out to do battle with is not as good as who you had earlier when you were also having those same painful third period losses?
Yeah, I think you do it because that's where they are on this timeline. They have to do that. You have to put the young guys, like, when we get past this trade deadline, we're talking now. Think about what this roster is going to look like in 2 weeks. Like, it's going to be all the young guys, and you're going to have to find out, because you have to find out what they have. And in the third period, when game's on the line, that's when you find out most about players. But to your point, last night, Zetterlund, Wennberg, and Smith, that's the first time I think they really were together in a while, because Wennberg was out before the break.
Yeah.
And, you know, it might – secondary scoring might be an issue because Granlund is just much more of a different playmaker than Wennberg. Wennberg is really good, I think, in his role as a faceoff guy, a kind of a plug in the middle, kind of, you know, kind of someone there that can – it's a bigger body. But it's a different style where Granlund is going to push the pace a little bit and be more creative. So that's interesting, and I think it is something to talk about. I think it could be a decent line, the Zetterlund, yeah, Wennberg, and Smith, but it's different. Your secondary scoring is going to probably be an issue here down the stretch unless someone catches fire, which you're hoping does, because Zetterlund does have more goals in his stick.
Yeah.
He does have more there. But last night it was both top-line guys, right, that are getting the goals. So I think secondary scoring down the stretch is going to be an issue, like, for some reason. If the top line isn't going, they're always going to get the toughest matchups, right? So they're going to get a defensive-minded center and everything. So if they aren't going, who's going to step up? To your point, there's no Granlund. Georgiev was good last night,
yeah. But
Mackenzie Blackwood maybe makes the save on the second goal.
Yeah,
like, he did, there's nothing wrong with letting that second goal in because it was
none of the goals.
None of them. But, you know, maybe he gets a better push across or whatever it is because he's playing better. He's got maybe a little more confidence at this moment. I do like where the defense is at because I think you're giving these guys some run here. They're young, but I think Jack Thompson is an NHL defender and Shakir Mukhamudulin is an NHL defender. It's just kind of for Shakir, I think it's a little bit more about figuring out where he is, but yeah. I really like what Jack Thompson brings. And I think the Sharks are maybe a little more surprised by what he's able to bring. And I think Thompson's probably going to be a third line defender going, or third pairing defender going forward, maybe a seventh guy, but he's definitely a guy that's going to be in this league.
What I was laughing about is we talked about it, the 25th close loss of the season for San Jose. Let's just say they win 10 of those. That's 20 more points. That's 57 points. That's 5 points back of Calgary, who is 1 point back of Vancouver for the final spot in the West right now in the wildcard standings. It's a totally different season.
That's
where you gotta look for the growth next year. It's not that they are going to be a contender next year, unless they are, who knows, but these close losses, can they turn a majority of them into close wins? And that to me is going to be the biggest sign of growth. Now that might happen just with more talent coming in and more experience for the young guys, but just because these so many close losses, like I said, you don't even have to give them half of them. Even if you just take 10, if you get 20 more points, they're suddenly right there in the race.
Yeah, if they have 20 more points, you're 5 points back. There's a decision to be made by Mike Greer at this deadline. And, that happens if you keep Blackwood a little bit longer. It for sure happens if you keep Blackwood a little bit longer. Granlund, it's only been a couple weeks, so I don't know if it would have changed anything that much for those close games. I think you pick off maybe a handful with McKenzie. But also, they weren't great in close games with McKenzie back. Not to his credit, because he makes saves, and then they just didn't have the scoring power. We talked about it yesterday. There was a stretch there where it wouldn't matter who was in net because they were scoring like one or zero goals. So you can't you can't do anything. I think that's really the thing going forward. We're talking about secondary scoring now. They need another finisher, and maybe Will Smith with another year, and maybe they go out. But I think they do need a little bit. They need another 30-goal scorer, 25-30 goal scorer. But to your point, if you get 8 to 10 wins here, that flips everything. That flips the narrative. Yeah, you're probably not looking at like a top five pick, so you're probably not going to restock the cupboard in that situation. But you have more optimism, and there is already a lot of optimism. I think if you look past, and I think also the two-week break helped that optimism for the Sharks, because it was getting kind of tiring and dark, especially 8-3 going into that. But I think
actually seven unanswered in that 8-3 loss.
Yeah,
they were up
2-0.
Yeah. It was like, all right, they're rolling against Dallas, and then just got absolutely steamrolled.
But if they could, like you said, if they pick off, you know, a few of these, it's better. If they picked off five, let's say they even picked off five, they're at 20 wins right now, and they're a one above last year. They're two off of what, 2 years ago, right? So no matter what, they're probably going to eclipse those marks. Now we're wondering, are they going to get to 19? I think they'll get to 19. Are they going to get to 22, though? That's a question. And so even if you just picked off five, and that's also why we've talked about this, is that the record is what the record is. And it was like, oh, you're only as good as your record. But if you dug deep into it, and Mike Greer looked at it, I'm sure he does. He has a lot of smart people up there, Ryan Close up there, and Tom Hawley, and all those guys. They're a little bit closer, a little bit. And I don't know, a little bit closer to a playoff team, but to your point, maybe they're a little more closer to being at least in the conversation at this point in the season. And so I hope they push next year a little bit, because I think they have the pieces to do it, to at least, you know, give the fans a little bit more, a better show.
Yeah, no, I agree. Next year, we'll have more experience for Macklin Celebrini and Will Smith. If there are more offensive reinforcements on this team as well, I feel like they could take that big jump. What do you think for Macklin Celebrini, though, is the number one thing he's going to be looking at going into the offseason? He had one ring off the post last night as well. Is it, you know, being able to pick out a spot on a netminder, looking guys off a little bit more? Like, I'm trying to find areas that he needs to work on. It's for him, it's hard to find areas to work on. He is very complete.
Yeah, I don't know if it has anything to do with that. I think the finishing is going to come where he gets to know the goalies a little bit. Remember, he's going against these goalies for the first time. Well, maybe he's seen Hellebuck, I think, twice now. But he's getting his own receipts. I think for both him and Will, it's about putting on 5 to 10 pounds of muscle just to go up and be more of a grown man against these other grown men who've been in the league. And I think that's really what this. I'm sure the strength and conditioning regiment will be, you know, he's got a pretty good dad who knows what he's doing there. So right. I think really it just comes down maybe conditioning. I think he's in great shape conditioning wise, but just adding more muscle and growing into the type of NHL body you need. And for Will, I know you didn't ask me about Will, but
I was going to get there. So it's fine.
Get bigger and stronger. And I think maybe, you know, his finishing, but also I think mostly maybe just a more effortless stride. I don't know if you can clean up your stride, but just his skating a little bit,
let me interject there real quick. I wonder if that's why one of the reasons they have him living with Marlo, because Marlo, not only was his stride great when he came in, but he also got more efficient. I wonder if he's parlaying some of that.
Yeah. And it was great. I also I forgot what I was listening to, but it was that I was listening to the morning skate yesterday where Ruzy and Drew were talking about Brady Tkachuk, not the greatest skater in the world. And they said, you know, Drew was like maybe the worst skater on the USA team, but he was the most impactful player during that tournament. So with Will Smith, you don't have to be the greatest skater. Like that's not what's going to change you or anything like that. But I think working on that a little bit is going to help out, and also just getting bigger, stronger. They're big kids already. They're going to get a little bit bigger and stronger. I think. I mean, if I was them, that's all I would tell them is, hey, go eat a little bit more. Let's get on a little. Good clean foods, as they would say, though, you know, don't need to be stuffing your face with all the goodness, but
no,
but yeah, I think 5 to 10 pounds, 10 pounds would be great. I think that they'd come in ready to go and be looking more like grown men compared to these other like Anze Kopitars of the world.
We'll have more of that interview for you on Morning Tide as we take a look back at what's coming between the Sharks and Winnipeg. We are just about out of time here, however, but remember to join us. 4 o'clock pregame, 4:30 go time. Sharks in Winnipeg taking on the Jets. Dan Rusinowski and Alex Stalock on the call as the Sharks look to snap their five-game losing streak and get back in the wins column. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey signing off.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi Yen.
Okay, off the faceoff, a quick shot there from the point is blocked. Celebrini's line is out there for the Sharks. Wallman keeps it in. Nice job. Swings behind the net. There's Toffoli, centers in front. He scores. Macklin Celebrini, a perfect pass.